Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Suzanne Morphew. This is a case from about 3 years ago. It's been one, if you've been following it, a lot of twists and turns. Her husband was initially charged with first-degree murder, was about to go to trial literally days before they dropped the charges against him. But the charges can be refiled. That should be noted of hearing the story, as the body has now been found. It's been a shocking twist in this long-standing disappearance case, since the authorities have now finally found the remains of the Colorado mother of two. The discovery was made in Sagatchie County during an unrelated investigation, 3 years after Suzanne mysteriously vanished during a bike ride near Maysville, Colorado, on Mother's Day, May 10th, 2020. It's gained a lot of attention over the last couple of years. Since today, the 49-year-old mother vanished. The heart-wrenching tale of Suzanne, who was last seen on that fateful Mother's Day bike ride, has haunted a lot of people. The recovery of her remains is a significant breakthrough, said a source close to the case. The story takes several twists and turns. Let's go through it. Following Suzanne's initial disappearance, search teams located her bike and a helmet, but whereabouts of her body remained a mystery until the recent discovery. And there was questions, too, about the bike and where it was found and if it was planted and if it was really part of this. That's something that you can look into further if you want. Her husband, Barry Morphew, during an interview with Fox 21 in August of 2020, expressed profound distress regarding her disappearance, saying it was the most devastating thing that's ever happened to me. It's also noteworthy that nearly a year after she went missing, Barry was then indicted on charges of first-degree murder, tampering with physical evidence, and attempting to influence a public servant. He later entered a plea of not guilty. However, the court saga took another twist when Assistant District Attorney Linda Stanley opted to drop the charges without prejudice. The legal maneuver means that the charges against Barry can be reinstated in the future. Prosecutors at the time noted they believed that they were on the verge of locating Suzanne's body, but needed more time for thorough investigations. Essentially, what that also kind of means is they don't have quite enough to make an arrest. Rather than make an arrest and bring charges against someone, and they feel that it's not going to, you know, cut the smell test in court, they're going to wait. They're going to wait to make the actual arrest and the charge. Obviously, they did make an arrest and a charge, but I think realized it just wasn't going to add up. One of the crucial pieces of evidence against Barry was a 129-page affidavit, which people had previously reviewed. In it, investigators shared a January 2021 conversation where they informed Barry about an extramarital affair Susan had for almost 2 years before her disappearance. Barry's reaction was both contemplative and cryptic. He stated, maybe in God's eyes, this was his way of resolving something.
Ouch.
Why would you say that out loud if you're kind of in the microscope of possibly killing your wife? If you had nothing to do with it, even then, you got to look at the optics. And even if you're thinking that, even if you had a very contemptuous relationship and it was going downhill, which it very much looks like this relationship was on the outs, If you don't want to be a suspect, don't say that out loud.
Yeah.
Even if you feel it.
I think that's pretty damning.
If you feel it inside, I guess I could see somebody being like, maybe this, I don't know, some sort of like, but not, I don't know. It's still bizarre and sick to be like, yeah, he killed her. God killed her, you know, to make you feel better about getting divorced. I don't know. It seems insane. Even if he felt it, you don't fucking say that. He further.
I mean, Tony, you know, one of my exes, I've wished for God to strike him down with a lightning bolt. I mean, does that, you know, something bad happens to him? Am I suddenly a suspect now?
No, because you can't control the lightning. The fact
that he
happens to work in an area where there's pretty decent chances of getting struck by lightning on the job makes it a little more suspicious, though.
That's a true story.
Like, yeah, kind of standing by very large metal towers quite often. This may not end well. But he further grappled with divine implications of the tragedy, expressing confusion over why such an event would even happen. Subsequent sections of an affidavit paint a disturbing image suggesting that Barry may have treated Suzanne like prey, allegedly trying to hunt and control Susan like he had hunted and controlled animals. This was a big game hunter, one of those assholes that has more money than they need and likes to go and just shoot innocent animals in the wilderness. And I'm not talking hunting deer. So I'm talking like big game hunting where
like going lions or elephants.
Exactly. I'm not talking deer hunting. I'm talking crazy fucking hunting. The more few.
Yes.
The more few family reeling from the allegations and subsequent release made their emotions public in a conversation with ABC News. Barry expressed frustration with the prosecutors, believing they had wrongly accused him. His words conveyed deep frustration, saying they've got tunnel vision and they've looked at one person and they got too much pride to say that they're wrong and look somewhere else. His daughter Mallory echoed the sentiment, pleading for justice for their mother and criticizing the perceived missteps in the prosecution. Barry's attorney, Iris Eaton, in a candid conversation with People in 2022, articulated her belief that even if Suzanne's remains were found, there would be no link to her client. Well, following the recent discovery of Suzanne's remains, Eaton issued a heart-wrenching statement on behalf of the Morphew family. The statement read, "Barry is with his daughters, and they are all struggling with immense shock and grief after learning today that their mother and wife, whom they deeply love, was found deceased."
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 3 years, though. I imagine there's still shock when you're given that news, because I would imagine, especially those kids, they've been sitting there hoping maybe something happened. Maybe she had some sort of psychotic break. Maybe she ran away. Maybe she'll come back. Something, you know? And then
this takes away their hope at this point.
This takes away that hope. I, as the kids, I'd also be really concerned about Dad. Of what's going to happen there. I don't know enough on this case to have an opinion on Barry Morphew. There's certainly, you know, when you look at the case and you look at some of the evidence, there's some things that look pretty shitty. But the case, those charges have since been dropped. Of course, they could come back again. But as with anything, anytime someone dies in a spousal situation where you have husband, wife, or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, there is going to naturally be a handful of things that connect one to the other and may not always be exactly what it looks like in terms of, ooh, this is damning or this is scary or this is wrong. Take, for instance, the Lisk, Rex Heuermann, and the charges against him. His wife, Asa Elrup's hair, was found on some of the victims, on some of the burlap that was there. Why? Likely because they lived in the same house, and it was kind of a cluttered mess. So not that shocking, but in the surface, you could also go, what's going on here? Is there some sort of connection? I think they should.
It's hard not to look at that.
And
I
it
mean,
should
you
be looked
have
at.
To.
And it should be looked at, but once checked out, it should be accepted as what it is, if there's really nothing going on. As of now, the question in everyone's mind is whether Barry Morphew is going to face a renewed round of charges in light of this discovery. They always say, you know, it's much easier to prosecute someone when you have the body itself. They have the body itself now. So if there was something that they were waiting for, if there's, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to try and get any sort of DNA off of her if there is evidence of it. But I'm sure they'll be looking at fingernails if they're still there. I'm not trying to be morbid, but we're talking a 3-year body that's been out of the elements. Yeah. It's going to be interesting what they can find and what the state of that body was, because I don't know what that was, but it may lead to more evidence or just maybe another piece of closure for those kids and him, if Barry had nothing to do with it, of his wife that tragically died out on a biking trip in the beginning of COVID.
You know, I know a lot of people who bike and hike, and they put, and I don't want to blame anybody, but they put themselves in some really weird situations.
Sure.
For the sake of their sport. And it just concerns the shit out of me. So, you know, anything can happen. Who knows? Maybe she fell off of a cliff or something and rolled, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of, but they took 3 years to find the body. I'm wondering why. I don't know. I don't know exactly where it was found in relation to where the bike is. We're just learning all of this information as we record this. But something to keep an eye on as we keep watching this. I hear you 100%. In fact, Robin Drake, who's a regular on our show every single day, he's going out for a hike, backpacking. We're talking about them. Is it hiking or is it backpacking or what is it called? Backpacking. Doing a round on his own through some pretty treacherous stuff this week. Mm-hmm. In fact, right as we're recording this. And I said, you better come back alive because I don't want to have to like cover you on the show.
Oh, right. Well, and that's the thing. There's some podcasts that I follow. One of the guys that I just absolutely adored, his name was Eric Bollert. He was riding his bike, listening to music, and got hit by a freaking train. I mean, and I've known people who've hiked and have gotten lost.
How do you get hit by a train? I mean, that seems like it's a different, like you kind of got to put yourself into that position.
Well, I think he was zoned out so much and just powering through, and maybe, you know, maybe had music up loud in his ears. I mean, AirPods in, you can just get lost in the moment and must not have been paying attention.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I could see it happen. So who knows? And maybe something nefarious happened to this woman. But I also I raise my eyebrows a little bit because I know a lot of really extreme bikers and hikers, and the shit that they get themselves into. It's like, oh my God, I'm surprised you came home alive.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think that's part of the rush. As Robin even said to me, I'm like, well, I said, have fun with it. He's like, it's going to be hell. It's horrible. I hate every minute of it.
Why are you doing it?
He's like, I just do it to finish it and to be able to have done it and to say I accomplished that goal. I mean, he's a former Marine, you know, that's his, you know, that's how he operates and works. And so he goes for things like that. I totally, I don't get it because I'm not like that, but that's his thing. Yeah, I mean, it can get scary out there. It certainly can. And this really wasn't any sort of crazy path. You're just out biking and on the bike.
What if it was a bear attack?
What if it was a pack of angry chipmunks?
Hey, I saw somebody was attacked by an otter, had like 42 bites and possibly rabies. So anything can happen, Tony.
No, if I was out there biking and it's a big cliff, if there was like some weird animal that came up on me, I could easily see getting like, oh my gosh, and then you're off the cliff.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, you're out in the wilderness, things can happen.
There's more to learn on this one, and we'll keep watching and see where it goes in the death of Suzanne Morphew.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.